Look at verse chapter 4 of Romans, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham and or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Let's go down to verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. We're talking on the subject of possessing our inheritance, and we're in this area now, the last area, called receiving our inheritance. Receiving our inheritance. Being heirs of the world is what God promised and gave to Abraham and his seed. The seed of Abraham, the Bible says in Galatians, is Christ. But then it says in Galatians 3:29, that if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise he made him. So basically, he promised him that he would inherit the whole earth. And then he goes in verse 16 and says that it's of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. That means, I'll read it in the Amplified, therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and guaranteed, and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants. The only thing about faith is that when you're talking about faith, you're talking about things that you receive that are beyond the realm of the physical. In other words, you must leave the realm of the senses to operate by faith. That as far as the senses are concerned, they have no place and no part to play in faith. So when we're talking about the faith of Abraham, we're going to talk about some of this on Wednesday. We're talking about the faith of Abraham. We're talking about something that Abraham had to believe God for, something that he couldn't feel, touch, taste, smell, or whatever. This is faith. Now, if you look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, for he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Why? For he was fully persuaded that whatever God promised, he is also able to do it, to perform it. It's powerful stuff, folks. So understand, not only did God give you the promise, but he's going to give you the grace and the faith to access it. It's going to be all God. And it's all good. So this is key, because we come from a feeling society. I don't feel like going tonight. You hurt my feelings. I feel like you don't like me. I'm just saying, everything is bound up in these five things here: the eyes, ears, nose, so forth. They're bound up in that. But for faith, I'm going to have to leave all of that. And that is a place where most church folk — can I use church? Most church folk have not experienced. Though they talk about faith, sing about faith, hope about faith, but they're not walking in faith. And that's what we got to do. We got to stop playing games with this and get on out there in faith, because there's an inheritance out there that belongs to you, and you're going to get it. You are going to get it in Jesus' name, and you're going to take it. Take it by faith. So, when we look at this, we see that there is a scripture that I was using as a backdrop to look at possessing our inheritance. Let's go over to Mark's gospel and Mark chapter 5, please. Mark chapter 5. I said Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 4, please. Correct that. Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, look what it says here in verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. This is Jesus. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. They awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we are perishing, or we're going to die? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And there was a great, the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, this is interesting because part of what you and I have been called to do is we've been called to take possession of this earth. In other words, wherever God leads you, he expects you to possess it. Now, what we said about this is that the church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. One more time. The church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. Now, the church is a revelation. It is something that is beyond natural human comprehension, meaning that it's in the realm whereby for you to get the fullness of what the church is, you're going to have to be given it by God. He's going to have to tell you. Now, you and I are the church, not this building. And you and I are sent in this earth to manifest God's kingdom. And that we now, in this particular case, Jesus is going with them to the other side. But notice what he's doing now. He's teaching them. He's showing them and preparing them for his departure. Because he's got to go away. But he's taking this time to not only teach them who they are, what they can do, what they can have, so forth, but leading by example. He's doing things here. Now, in this case, he told them, let us go to the other side, which was God's appointed destiny for them. And remember what we said last time, no one can keep you from reaching your destiny but you. Remember what it said that? And we said, nothing can keep you from reaching your destiny but you. Nothing. So, in this particular case, now Jesus is leading them across and a storm comes up. Now, I want to break this down, starting at verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ships so that it was now full. Now, Rick Renner, who you may or may not have heard of, but he has started a church in Russia, but he's a somewhat of a Greek scholar. And he talks about this particular verse in the Greek and what it talks about and really refers to. That this the waves beat into the ship and it was now full. The ship is a vessel. Well, let's not call it the vessel a ship. Let's call the vessel your body. And that he is saying that these waves came up and with force came down. So the enemy takes waves of thought patterns and comes down on your mind. You got it? And just bombards it with one wave right after the other. One right after the other. Now, what is he trying to get you to do? He's trying to affect your thinking. Because we talked about the battles that have to be fought. That in going to the other side, the battles are necessary to get to where you're going. Okay? But the battlefield, for the most part, is your mind. Now, in that, leave something right there. Put something right there, please. And let's go to Proverbs and Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And let me know when you get there. Hello. Look at verse 32. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay your hand over your mouth. Now, why do you think you need to lay your hand over your mouth? Because the next thing that happens, that it's going to come out of your mouth. And where is death and life? In the power of your own tongue, not somebody else's. It says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Not by my words. By your own words. So a battle is necessary, but nobody can stop you from getting your destiny but you. And what happened? Here comes the waves. Here come the thoughts. Here comes this bombardment on his mind. On their mind. And I'm telling you, the enemy had bombarded every one of them. And let's go back to Genesis chapter 6, please. Genesis chapter 6. And notice what came out of their mouths. We're going to die. Now, what did I just tell you? No one can stop you from getting your destiny but you. So what do people do? They get a report from the doctor. They start saying what the doctor said. That is not what you're supposed to say. See, when you're in a battle, what you're going to say is what God says. God can't rescue you and you talking against God. Because nobody can stop you from getting your destiny, getting your healing, getting your prosperity but you. Can't nobody stop you but you. Your mama can't stop you. Your brother can't stop you. Your boyfriend can't stop you. Your cousin can't stop you. Your spouse can't stop you. Your mother-in-law can't stop you. The president can't stop you. The vice president can't stop you. The mayor can't stop you. Nobody can stop you from getting your destiny but you. We have got a society of people in the church who feel that people can stop them. Who feel, no, the church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. Don't be trying to compare the church with the Muslims or compare the church with the Hindus. Folks, they have no idea how much power is in you, but they're going to have it soon because the power is about to come out because God's about to manifest the sons of God. But yeah, and the enemy tries to do maintenance on your ignorance. He will try to make you believe that the church is on the same level as the state. Folks, if it weren't for the church, there'd be no state. The church is so far above what is secular until it is pathetic. Do you hear what I'm telling you? The church is the ones that are calling the shots on this earth. The whole earth has been delivered to the church. The church binds and looses. The church determines what's going to stay here and what's going to leave. The church determines this. But because God's people didn't know who they were and suffering from an identity crisis, what we've done is let the enemy come in and continue to assault ignorance and add to it and tell us we got to pray the same prayer over and over again. Well, every time you do that, you undo the one that you just prayed. He tries to tell us we got to knock and keep on knocking. Well, that's not true, because God said he'll deliver you speedily. He said whatsoever things you desire when you pray, just believe that you receive them and you're going to have it. You don't have to go back again hoping, wanting, crying, leaning to the side, singing sad songs and so forth. I'm talking about rise up and say, wait up and praise God. Look at Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Look at it. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, the enemy affects thoughts. And you and I come into the kingdom with ungodly thought patterns. We really do. And you've been born again, or you're a child of God, but you got to renew your mind. And one of the first things he told Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, he said, hey, Joshua, he said, now every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I'm going to give you. In other words, where I send you, I expect you to rule it. Come on now. See, he expects you to rule in Chicago. If he didn't want you to do that, he just sent you to Peoria. Come on now. Everywhere Joseph went, he took over. Say amen to that. He went to Potiphar's house as a slave, took over. Come on, they sent him to prison, took over. Then raised him up there with Pharaoh, took over. Everybody that passed Joseph's chariot had to do what? Bow the knee. I'm telling you, God wants you to take over. And the violent, take it by force. It's a hostile takeover. And you're taking it by faith. And God is with you. He said, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I will not fail you, nor will I forsake you. Now this word shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein. Come on. Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall thou make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. He didn't say he was going to make your way prosperous. He made your way prosperous before the foundation of the world. He said, now you're going to make your way prosperous by doing the word of God. Say amen to this. Oh, yeah. Nobody can stop Bill Winston. But notice what the enemy tries to do. Bombard your mind. Bombard your mind. Same thoughts. Same thoughts. Bombard it. Try to bring up images. You know, Aunt Lucy believed that and she died. Come on now, images. What if? That's why I have real problems with some folk. Because I ask them to do something and they tell me it can't be done. You know what they're talking like? A demonic program. And that's what you got to deal with. So your thoughts are affected by three things: observation, association, and teaching. And you got to watch who you associate with. Because even right in your house, right in church, you got to watch it. Because everybody's not thinking like you thinking. Everybody's not free in their thinking. And you know, to be in bondage is one thing, but to be in bondage and don't know it is terrible. Because they're going to talk out of some thinking that they're thinking they're free and they're in bondage. And I'll be trying to figure out, where are these people coming from? Really? How did they get up on me? I'm asking that now. Because I'm sending for a new bunch. I'm telling you, because where I gotta go, I can't hear that. See, what they're doing is they walk in the flesh. And this flesh is reasoning on the level of only human. Well, I'm only human. No, you're not. Are you following what I'm saying? And the enemy is real slick. He tries to make you think you came from the animal class. See, that's why he gives you a monkey. You've seen them, evolution, and you've seen pictures. And they even got movies out of now about the man that came from a monkey, and pretty soon he looked like me. You know what I'm saying? And all of that is a fabrication of somebody's imagination. Man came from God, and God made man. Made him a man. Didn't make him a dog. Didn't make him a monkey. Didn't make him a gorilla. Didn't make him nothing but a man. And the thing about it, he is in the God class. That means that he, Lord have mercy, I feel like preaching now. Folks, this enemy has tried to assault your ignorance. He's trying to find a place where he can get in and reinforce the fact that the church and state are on the same level and you got to fight the state and so forth. Folks, that's the only reason those Bibles could come out of those public schools. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. See, when you don't know who you are and what you have, then when somebody takes it, you're not outraged. You're not outraged. See, if you know who you are, let me say this. You remember Daniel? Daniel was threatened. What the king was talked into is to make a law. And to make a law that anybody who prayed to any god, except him or whoever he thought it was, their god, then that person would be put in the lion's den. Y'all remember that? That's what he said to Daniel. Now that was a law. Just like taking Bibles out of school was a law. But Daniel knew who he was. So what did he do when the law was made? He went up in his room, opened the window so everybody could see him. Shandarabaharabasata. Watch this. They took him and put him in prison. Now they've taken him to the lion's den. Capital punishment. But did he fear? No. Was the devil trying to beat his mind up? Yes. But did he cast down that stronghold? Was he willing to let fear come into his life? No. What he did, he knew who he was. And folks, when you know who you are, you can be in the middle of a lion's den sleeping because you know that God said, no evil shall befall you, neither any. You better hear what I'm saying. Now we got to stop giving way to some report that comes concerning us or our family or our history or whatever have you. You got to stop that. You got to move on. Say, wait a minute. I'm a child of God. Right here. Right here. Right between your ears. It's what he's coming after. It's coming after your mind. Bombard it. Bombard it. Tell you can't do something. You can't go to school. You're not smart anyway. Get out of class. No, your husband, look at him. He probably coming in late because he's cheating. Now, that just listen to what I'm saying now. You're just bombarding. You can't do it. You can't buy it. If it doesn't align up with the word, come on, you got to hear what I'm saying now. So now what happened? Bombarded their minds. What happened? Something came out of their mouth. We're going to die. We're going to die. They said what Satan suggested. Jesus woke up, didn't even argue with him. What did he do? He rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And there was a great calm. He turned to them and said, "Now, why are you so fearful? How come you don't have no faith?" Let me tell you something, folks. The enemy, he affected the weather. That's not the only thing he can affect. Watch this. There's a guy told a story, Charles Capps told a story about the time he had to get the devil out of his air conditioner. He said he took one of his tractors, had a big farm in Arkansas. Went out there to farm with the tractor, real hot day. And the air conditioner went out. He said, "Well, I just can't ride in this cab in this. Let me go get the other tractor." Got out there, the air conditioner went out in that one. He said, "Wow." What did he do next? He went back, said, "I'll just leave it. I got to go speak tonight anyway and catch the airplane. So I just leave it for right now." Went back to the house. Wife told him, "The air condition just went out." Y'all ever heard of an air conditioned demon? No, have you? Okay. I'm talking about he can affect weather systems now. Now, he's doing all this through people. He's got a human agent down there somewhere. You got what I'm saying? And then the next thing, he went on the airplane, the air condition went out. Got to the destination, went to the hotel, go hotel room, air condition wouldn't work. He knew then that he had to start binding and loosing. He started binding and loosing, every air condition came back on. The house, the tractor, everything came back on. Let me go further. My wife and I just came from Miami. We're speaking down there. Pastor down there, one of the seasoned brethren, and he was around when Brother Hagin and them was around, and Brother Hagin used to go down there, Kenneth Hagin Sr., yeah, and do meetings, and he would do meetings like 3 weeks at a time, 2 or 3 weeks. That's the way they did them back in those days. And they told Brother Hagin, said, "Brother Hagin, we're trying to buy this land next door that we can build." But they came out and did a soil sampling on the land, the environmental people. And the land was totally contaminated to the point that they wouldn't even let us build on it. Brother Hagin went back, went in the spirit, closed his eyes, began to pray in the Holy Ghost, and then began to cast out a devil. Said, "Take, I see you. All right, now, you demons, so forth. Get out of that soil right now. Go!" In Jesus' name. And then he said, "Okay, get them back out there and check it now." He said, "Well, we had checked it, you know." He said, "No, go check it again." So he got the people back out there and checked it. The soil was perfect. Amen. He said, "Well, Brother Hagin, what did you see?" He said, "I saw a demon with one of the ugliest faces I've ever seen in my life. And the demon's head was sticking up out of the soil. The rest of them is down in the soil." Now understand, Satan wants to hold the land. He said, the next thing that happened, he said, "I had to cast him out." Now, here's what I believe. Y'all ready? I believe that there's nothing wrong with the soil. I believe the demon affected the instruments and samplings. That's what I believe. I've heard of a man before that died of cancer. And they did an autopsy on him afterwards. And there was no trace of cancer anywhere in his body. Turn to Jonah, chapter 2. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to? The devil is a liar and the father of lies. The imagination and the thoughts and the hearts of those people were only evil continuously. Jonah was going the wrong way. Somebody in here might be a Jonah. But that's all right. We're going to get you turned around after we get this faith in you. You with me? All right, look what it says here in verse 6. "And I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with the bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, unto thine holy temple. They that observe what? Lying vanities do what? Forsake their own mercy. I'm telling you that the devil will give you a symptom or something and try to make you buy it. Try to make you say, yeah, this is what I got, and so forth. But let me tell you, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And I'm telling you, in the natural, it looked like everything right there they were sunk for sure. It looked like death was certain to these disciples. But Jesus woke up and declared something. And I'm telling you, in the face of all kinds of adverse circumstances, you decree the word of God. Amen. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And he said, verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of who? The Lord. So notice what he did. Instead of belly aching, crying, talking about how bad it is, putting on them old sad songs, trying to make you everybody sad around you, he just began to praise God. I remember when I was down in Tulsa, and I think things weren't going right for me, and I'm telling you, I was mad about it and didn't have no money and broke. I was going to school, and I just didn't like it. And my wife came in the living room, and I'll never forget what she said. Sweetheart, why don't we just start praising God? I said, I don't want to praise God. Man, I'm going through something here. I ain't got time to praise God. No, my friends, you praise God because when you praise God, you hang gates. You follow what I'm saying? Now you can get your way out. You're walled in and you need some gates so that you can walk out of that thing. And praise hangs gates in your situation. So when you don't know what to do, praise God and watch a gate be hung for you. God will deliver you because praise says, hey God, I'm giving it all to you. You are my salvation. You are my deliverer. You are my healer. You are my provider. You are my protector. You are my peace. You are my joy. You are my all in all. I'm gonna praise you in the morning. I'm gonna praise you in the nighttime. When I'm up, I'm going to praise you. When I'm down, praise God. Calling things that be not as though they were. That's all he was doing. And look at verse 10. And the Lord spake to the fish, and he vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Folks, when you start praising him, you start moving the hand of God. God will make whatever is holding you back or what's ever holding back from you, what you have already, God make him spit it out. So don't let the enemy come in and try to tell you that there's no hope for you. Because your hope is in the Lord. So he comes in and tries to affect your attitude, tries to shut down your ideas, tries to affect your thoughts to create, and tries to really affect your emotions and make you look sad all over the place. But that won't get you out. What gets you out is calling things that be not as though they were. So now, let's go to one more place. The church, the most powerful institution in the world ever. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1, please. We covered a little bit of this last time. But let's cover a little bit more again. Now remember, there are no long battles. There are no long battles. Now, I better prove that to you right quick. If you will, put something there at Ephesians, so you should have two places now. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, remember what we read over in Luke chapter 18, that the Lord will deliver you speedily. Speedily. This business about 6 months in court, those days are over. He delivers you speedily. Come on. You done waited on that child support long enough. Maybe that's not a good example, but let's hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Have you got it? Look at verse 17. Remember what I said now, that you can't expect to go over without a battle. A battle is necessary for you to get to where you're going, but you don't want to stay in a battle. Every time you see some folk, you ask them, how you doing? I'm going through. You better get through before you get your head beat in, man. You're not supposed to be going through all that time. Are you following what I'm saying? The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. Look what it said in verse 17. For our light affliction is but for a moment, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we what? Look, not at the things which are what? Seen. But at the things which are what? Not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. And the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Now watch what I'm about to say. Look at verse 17. These two verses go together now. For our light affliction. Affliction means hardship. Things coming against you. Which is but for what? A moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things that are seen. Are you following what I'm saying? So you're going to, when you look at stuff that's not seen, meaning the Word of God, your affliction is going to be light and momentary. But if you start looking at what's seen, it's going to be long and it's going to be heavy. So what you got to do is look at the Word of God. And what did the Word of God say? Then that's what you are supposed to say. All right, I want to turn you one more place, too, that I was thinking. Oh, Ephesians. You with me?
Yes.
So the church. That the church is supposed to be operating on a totally on a different level. That we're supposed to be at a level to have an excellence that makes the world look weak by comparison. He's supposed to be placing a demand on the wisdom of God, being 10 times better than anything in the world. Say amen to that. So now let's look at this last part here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, why am I giving you this? I'm getting you a revelation of how powerful you are. Now, you got to know that, because knowledge brings confidence. And confidence is what you need in the lion's den. When folks start coming against you, or the enemy tries to pronounce some incurable disease on you, whatever have you, you need confidence. So you're in this earth and the enemy tempts you. And he's got carefully crafted temptations to try to get you to fall in the pit. But I'm here to tell you that God is with you. I said God is with you. And he is a deliverer. He knows how to deliver his people out of temptation. So verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and our power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, Lord have mercy, that filleth what? All in all. So, where is Christ again? Where is he? He's at the right hand of the Father, what? He's what? He's seated. He's seated. Now, he's going to get up. But let me show you when he's going to get up. Can you put something right there for a minute? Turn over with me to Psalm 110. I'm coming right back. Y'all got time for this? He's seated, but he's going to get up. And let's see when he's going to get up. You ready? Look at verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. He's going to get up in the day of his power. He's going to get up. Lord have mercy. See, this is a lesson by itself. Turn, let that go. Let that go. You read it. Let that go. Go over to 66 and 1, Psalm 66. And verse 3, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves to thee. You see, God is sitting there until you make his enemies his footstool. You are the feet. The feet are in the body. And he's going to sit there until the day of his power. God is about to make it so, oh Jesus, that no one here will be ashamed of the gospel anymore. That it will be one of the greatest things to say is, I'm a Christian. Where it's kind of been kept down and kept back, not anymore. Because we're about to manifest something here. See, in the day of his power, that the heathen are going to submit. We're going to take all the mountains. We're going to have the mountain of education. We're going to conquer the mountain of media. We're going to own the satellites. This is the day of his power. Lord have mercy. Come on back over here. Let me finish this, because that's a lesson. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's finish that. Okay, so where is Jesus now? Where is he seated? In heaven at the Father's right hand. Now, he didn't die so you go to heaven. Because even though you go there, if you go there before it's all over with, even though you go there, you're going to not be there long, so don't unpack. Just get some underwear, put them out, and some socks, put them out, and so forth. Don't unpack, because you're coming back right here. Everything, Adam started with this, and we're going to end up with it. Right here. Okay? Now, so he's seated. But he's seated there, and it says that he's the head of the body. Body of who? Christ. Who's the body? We are. Look what it says in verse 4. But God, chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in what? Mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has he done what? Quicken us what? Together with who? Christ. By what are you saved? By grace are you saved? And has what? Raised us what? Come on. Up together. Keep going. And made us what? Sit together where? In heavenly places. Where? In Christ. So now where are you? See? Wait a minute. Don't talk out of your flesh. I'm not talking to your flesh. I'm talking to you. Where are you? I'm in him. Where? At the right hand, doing what? I'm sitting down. Say amen to this now. You got to get this. Because Jesus is the part of the Trinity. He is a part of the Godhead. But wait a minute. Don't leave out his body. Because I need the fullness of him. Look like to me, I'm a part of the Godhead. You follow what I'm saying here? See, when I do something in the earth, I'm not doing it from earth. I'm doing it from heaven. Because my body is on earth, but I've got the authority of the throne. And when I speak, the whole throne backs me up. I am far above principalities. And that's why I don't need to fight and argue with a demon. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. I don't warm myself out. Come out. No, Jesus didn't do that because the demons knew he knew who he was, where he was, and the power that he has. Say amen to that. Folks, you're going to get it. Say amen to that. The enemy's always trying to get us in the animal class. You ain't in the animal class. You're in the God class. You are now about to walk and talk with God. Brother Hagin said it like this, before we leave this earth, men will walk as gods. Let me tell you this, another man said it like this. He said, before we leave here, we're going to walk like spirits. We're going to be more aware of our spirit than we are of our flesh. Now, if you're there seated with him in the throne, you remember what I told you, angels can't sit. They have to stand. Can nobody sit in the throne room but royalty? Say amen to that. So you can do something angels can't do. You can sit because angels are under you. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to, man? You start processing this. See, because when you're there, now you've got a kingly anointing. And a king releases his power through words. It doesn't do anything. It's done for him. I can see I'm breaking some new ground right here. Folks, this is not religion I'm talking. This don't have nothing to do with religion. This is so far above religion till it's pathetic. There is a king in you. Stop struggling and sit down. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Folks, I'm telling you, you're going to be so mindful of the authority and the power that's radiating through you because you're going all the way back to the garden. Let's go back to Eden and live on top of the world. This is our time, folks. You're going to be walking in this earth and every demon is going to bow. When you come in the room, your consciousness is going to be so aware of your throne room anointing until that anointing is going to cause demons to cry out. Oh, don't bother us. Don't bother. Let me tell you, just by when I was in Minnesota, I mean, I was prayed up. I was going to get a brother who had kind of had some mental problems, and they put him in a lock ward with all these other patients. And I remember coming in there, and I said, I'd like to see him. And they said, well, he's in. And they took me in there, and then they took me in another room, and then they took me in another room. And then we finally got into that last room where all the patients were, and they were there, and, you know, they were kind of out of their mind, you know, so forth and so on. And I walked in, and I remember I closed the door behind me, and the guy was standing right there. I closed the door, and then I saw several of them look up at me like that. And then this one went, got the guy, ran over to the guy, said, come in. Don't let him come in here. Don't let him come in here. See, watch this. He's going to mess with my people. Don't you let him come in here. I said to under my breath, shut up, you devil. Shut up. You get old back over in that corner. Let me tell you, you got something to say about coming in here. See, say amen to this. You got something to say about the whole earth. The enemy wants you to stay ignorant of who you really are, what you really got. But you are seated, folks. And when you give a command, you say it with a commanding voice. Devil, get your hands off my money. Money, you come to me.
No, no. Wherever he sends you, expect you to take over. Are you sent to Chicago? Take it over. Start by speaking. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is our time. The enemy feared this moment right here. Don't you let the devil steal it. Boy, I know this is right. Whenever you feel like you're boxed in, you lift your hands in praise. And just as quickly as you do it, God's going to hang a gate. Are you following what I'm saying? I remember what this evangelist Shambach used to say. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God.
Amen.
Now, don't look at yourself. Because your past may be messed up, but it's past.
Amen.
All this is by grace.
Yes.
That's right, Lord.
Hey, don't let the world tell you what you can do, how far you can go, what you can have. Watch this, and how much is too much. Let me tell you it all. No, no. This is the day of God's power.
Yes.
This is your time now.
Amen.
We're just waiting on the voice.
Amen.
Speak it. Decree it. Don't be taking somebody else's word for it who don't even know God.
That's right.
I got a feeling that somebody here is grabbing this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's grabbing this thing. You know what I'm saying? There's something going on in the spirit. See, one of the things Adam lost in the beginning is discernment. Discernment says, I can see the devil. I can see it. Brother Hagin stepped back. He could see that demon. Knew just who to cast out.
Somebody's been holding yourself. And I speak a new level of discernment on you right now in Jesus' name. I decree it right now on you in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, what he did, you're going to do too. And he's going to sit right there until you do it.